نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Bring you the...
And we have records. Did anybody record people coming in and out?
Bring you the man of the hour.
Did anybody record people coming in and out? Yes, we have records of people who came in and out of Egypt. Tamari. You hear me? And Moses ain't in them. Joseph ain't in them. Jesus ain't in them. Abraham ain't in them. Isaac ain't in them. They're not there. There is talk of a Palestinian group of people who came into Egypt during the time of Ramesses and got their butt kicked. There is talk of a Phoenician tribe who came out of Phoenicia over near Chaldea, who came over there and got their butt kicked up near the land of the Caucasians and the Hittites. This is on record. It's on the wall. You understand? And there was a time when a white group of shepherds, herders, called Hyksos, came into one province of Egypt, one known. And they say the Hyksos ruled Egypt for 100 years. So I came into America and I ruled Brooklyn, and they say I ruled all of the United States for a year, 100 years. The Hyksos was in one area for 100 years and then got put out by the Sudanese Mentu family. Black as night. They portray him jet black with a red fez like this. They ain't hiding what he looks like. They can't shave them lips. They can't alter that nose. Mentu family is jet black. Hotep family, jet black. Path or tar, natural. All the way down to King Tut's family. Women with afros and braids. That's the real Egyptian. Pythagoras, Plato, and all the Greeks that visited one of our cities, Memphis, as they call it, were. You hear that? Studied under one of our schools. We conferred 3 degrees of 9 on them. You hear me? And when they got back to Greece, they wrote of what they saw, and they described the Egyptian. And it's on record. Right? You know what they said? Jet black with nappy hair. They didn't say what you see in Egypt today. What you see in Egypt today are Turks, Greeks, and Hindu. What you see in Arabia today are Hindus and Turks. The original Arabians were also on record as black, fully the original Arabs. The original seed of Chaldea. The original Mesopotamian. The original Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar and all of them were black men. Thick lips, thick nose, and woolly hair. And didn't have no problem. There's no history, you hear me, of any Africans going that way. You see? But there's an abundance of history of Vikings coming out of the mountains down where we were at. Now, we in our land, chilling. You the Pharaoh? Cool. You taking care of business? Cool. I got some food. My family's straight. We got a working system? Cool. We don't need you. We wearing gold. We got diamonds. God Almighty, as y'all would like to call him, put us on the best part of the planet Earth. Put us in Africa where all the natural resources are. All the natural minerals are. Gold, platinum, diamond, uranium. We have it all. We were doing good. White folks came out of the mountains down there. And it wasn't about a black man seeing a white woman and wanting her. White men were chasing black women. Hello. And it happened in history. Right in Egypt. Julius Caesar with his gay self and his boyfriend Marcus Antonio both wanted Cleopatra, and so did their son. They wanted a black woman. Julius Caesar was like, just take Egypt. Cleopatra said, throw me up in a rug. He ain't seen a black woman. And they brought Cleopatra over to him in a rug and rolled her out, and she stood up and said, I am Egypt. And Julius Caesar gave her Rome. He fell so madly in love with her, all right, until they had to kill him. The tribune said, you got to die. You then surrendered your soul to this black woman. You know what else she did? Went and had a half-black kid. Told Caesar. They said, Caesar, especially Brute, don't touch that kid, Caesar. Because if you touch that kid as a god, you're admitting that he's a god. And he's half black and half white. And we can't handle mulatto gods. Can't be mixed, diluted, or tampered with in any form. And be God. Caesar loved old Cleopatra's nappy hair so much, he bent down and picked up the son and held him up and said, this is my son. You know what happened? This is race. To my racism, they killed him for that. So his right-hand man and commander and lover, Mark Antony, couldn't wait for Caesar to die to get some blackberry. Caesar was dead. Mark Antony was in Egypt whining and dining Cleopatra. They tried to play Hera, her name was. They tried to play her down in history, his story. But the deal was she was sacrificing herself for Egypt. You understand? She went to a professional woman, if you know what I'm talking about, and learned the art, if you know what I'm talking about. Because she knew when she was going up against Caesar and them, they had experience, because they had choice. Choice brings experience, if you know what I'm talking about. So she went and learned the art of lovemaking, so that when she got to Caesar, she buckled his knees. He was pouring out his sandals. All the sugar and everything left. You know what I'm saying? But she did that because Rome was planning on taking Egypt and ruling them. So she gave herself. Now I'm talking about a sacrificial lamb. Jesus gets the credit. Why didn't she? The Ptolemy dynasty, they go. And then when Mark Antony was in charge, she gave herself again. And Antony also got killed because she was bringing Egypt into Rome. Did they ever fall out of love with Cleopatra? No. They have the black Madonna right now, and that's Cleopatra. The Pope bows down to a black woman breastfeeding, and that is not Isis. It's a replica of Isis. It's Cleopatra. And what happened to that son? They killed the son, Sesostris of Caesar. But what did they do? Mark Antony had a son called Cleophas. Huh? And he became one of the three Jesuses that's in your Bible. Now that link can be found in history. That story is on record. There's tablets and writings to verify all that. And they will open up and immediately show you those parts of the story about Cleopatra in Egypt and how they got sarcophagus and writings. They got it. All right? Then give us the stories on Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Isaac, and Joseph also. Show it just as easy. Open it up. Make it world information. Put it in the newspapers. Preach it in the churches. Talk about it in the mosques. Hear me? Show us the proof that your biblical characters were really in Egypt. You can't. Because they weren't. Because they didn't exist. Jesus is Horus. And an incarnated Horus was Tutankhamun, King Tut. That picture that the white man worships is a face of the Jesus they're talking about. The gold mask that lit up like the sun. You hear me? Ramesses. Ra, Moses. Ra, Moses. A child of God. Solomon. That's who that is. Thoth. Hermes. Hermopolis. Tahuti. That is Moses. I'm sorry. Thutmose. Tahuti. Moses is Moses. That school that Moses went to under the priest Tahut. And became known as Tahutmose. That's Moses. What they did is they took stories that are on record of real people and they stole them and made them their Bible story. You ask, what is a coincidence? We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Correct? Three personages in one. Then I go back to Egypt and I get Osiris, God the Father, Horus, God the Son, because he became Ra, and Isis, the Blessed Mother Mary. But where's the Holy Ghost, Doc? Tell us about the Holy Ghost. We have it also. It's called the Ark bird, or the Bennu bird, which was a falcon with a man's head. You see that? That was the Holy Ghost that they talk about in the Bible. That was the dove. Whenever you see a Pharaoh, he has a falcon on his shoulders. You open your Bible and it says that God, it says when Jesus was dipped in the Jordan by John the Baptist, the heavens opened and a dove ascended upon him. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. I will reside with him forever." So they show a dove throughout Christianity. You hear me? That dove is the falcon bird of ancient Egypt. Arabs, Israelites still praise the falcon. That's the Holy Ghost, the ark, that comes to the chat, which is the body, and takes out the ba, which is the soul, and transports it to another dimension. On a great ship. And the ship is shaped like a crescent moon in ancient Egypt. You see that? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy is thy name. And they look up in the sky, they see three stars in the constellation of Orion. You hear me? And they say in the Bible, who art in heaven. And in the Greek, the word Uranus or Orion is there. That was Osiris, the belt of Osiris, the three wise men, the 3 degrees. But that wasn't the only heaven. There was an upper heaven and a lower heaven in the Bible. A firmament above and one beneath. And the next constellation is above it and it's called, come on y'all, Dragos. Andronymous, Drago, Drago, dragon. The word in the Bible for the devil is Dragos or dragon, a second constellation in the heavens. And these are things that you can go and find on a map. You'll find the names, and you'll find Drago, which predates the Bible, and you'll find Orionus, called Sahu, or Solstice. And beneath that one was another one called Set. Set in ancient Egypt. You call it what? Cyrus, where the Dogons say that the Namus came from. And these Namus, they call them reptilian people. Sea people. The same thing as the Ogdog of Egypt, the fish people. So in Christianity, they also have a symbol of a fish taken from Dagon, the Babylonian deity. And when you see the Pope, he has a fish on his head. These are no coincidences. They stole this from you. These were your mysteries, your secrets, and your symbolism. And they removed that and gave you a bland, watered-down, worthless culture. And they knew that dormant inside you one day was going to start growing again. You're going to want to know. You're going to want to ask questions. You want proof. So they staged it where if you ask proof, you look like a bad man. Oh, man, Malachi Z. Yor, Atum Re. I was a bad man when I was a Muslim. Right? I was a bad man when I was a Hebrew. Now I'm teaching Egyptology and I'm still a bad man. So it wasn't what I was teaching, it was me. If I was a white man teaching this Egyptology, they'd have me in a university, give me honorary degrees, speak 19 different languages, translate hieroglyphics. Man, but I'm black, they want to keep me hidden in prison under a dungeon if they can do it. You hear me? Because they know I am their worst nightmare. In the Planet of the Apes, I'm the monkey that can talk. They want me to shut up. Because wherever I go, this happens. We done woke up. And we done woke up everybody. And we becoming conscious of ourselves. And this frightens him. Because he has no place in our culture. He never was in it. And he lied and put himself in it. Said he was in Egypt. We didn't leave Africa and go to Europe stealing stuff from you and even stealing you. You left Europe and came down here. If you was doing all right in the Caucasus Mountains, why you had to come out? Don't tell me that your stuff is hooked up, your house is decked, you got the tapes, got the CDs, got some food in the fridge there, and got the heat on. Nigga won't come out. And the one you love? Why are you out the mountains? Why are you over here in America? Go home. You don't like the Native Americans. You don't like the South Americans. You don't like the Chinese. You don't like the Mexicans. You don't like the Africans. You don't like, go back up to the Caucasus Mountain where you belong. Go on behind the rocks. We will not miss you. We have existed for thousands of years. We were doing fine. We were doing African dances. We were laughing. We were calypsoing. We had reggae. We do not need you. Pack up your drugs. Pack up your alcohol, your whiskey, your wine, your cigarettes, your marijuana. Well, leave the marijuana. Pack up your pornography. Pack up your violent movies. Pack up all that devilishness. And while you're at it, you will be taking racism with you. Because we get along. We get along as Orientals. We get along as Latinos. We get along with our folks. All we got to do is get away from him separating us and making us hate each other. That's all we got to do. And then we find out we have more in common We all ate beans and rice. Hello. We know we got more in common. Go home, mister. Pack your stuff up and get out of Africa and go back to you. Pack your stuff up and get out of China, Korea, Taiwan, Vietnam, and I can go on, and go home. Pack your stuff up. Leave Puerto Rico. Anybody want to talk to me before I walk out of here?
Yeah, right back. You commented about us being out here on Saturday, not getting drunk and you know, all that. And Thursday, we were supposed to be working. When there was thousands of people out here making congregation in my garage and walking the labyrinth.
Right.
It's a new day and time.
Definitely a new day and time. When the brother signed to save anybody in him, he said Thursday night there was thousands of people out here praying, meditating. It's a new day and time. But not praying, hey Lord. Not praying to no spook. Not praying to no white boy on no cross. Not praying to no black stone in Mecca. Praying to who? Your own ancestors. Praying to your own family, your own blood, your own genes, your own seed, your own soul, your own spirit. Praying to yourself. Starting at home and working your way out. Praying to yourself. Making a connection with yourself. Making a connection with the gray hair of your grandmother and your grandfather. All the way back to Africa. We don't want your God no more. It didn't get us out of here. It didn't save us. All the gospel singing in the world, the ship didn't come. You can't have an old-time religion. You ain't that old. So if you go on my old-time religion, and it was good enough for Abraham, Jesus wasn't born yet, so it can't be Christianity. So why the heck are you in church asking for a religion of Abraham? And Abraham was before Judaism and Christianity and Islam. Abraham went down into Egypt, you said. Hello? You hear me? Time for us to wake up, y'all, and do the right thing by ourselves. Make that connection with ourselves. Let them call you voodoo because you got your hair in this beautiful afro. There you go. They don't want to see that. They want y'all to conk it, flatten it, stretch it, braid it. I don't mean braid it like braid. I mean extend it, wave it, finger wave it, blonde it. But don't be natural. And there are black people with wavy hair, but be natural. Take off them clothes and start putting on cultural clothes. Go to work in your clothes. They say, I'm sorry, you can't come to work in African clothes. Am I not an African American? Yeah. So why can't the part of me that's African wear African clothes? And fight it. Don't just take it, fight the right to wear your cultural clothes. Fight the right for your children to learn their language. Fight the right to deny their beliefs. You know why? Because it did not work for us. It didn't work for us. If you have a migraine and I keep trying to tell you to take medicine and that medicine don't work, you're going to continue to take that medicine or do you change medicine? It's time to change the medicine and the medicine man. Jesus didn't work for us. Allah didn't work for us. We're still getting massacred on the streets every day. You understand? There's no power helping us but us. You looking for a helping hand? There it is. At the end of your arm. Like your grandmother said, you want something done right? Do it yourself. There it is. You want to get it done? Let's do this thing right now. Look at all of us. Let's do it ourselves. Let's let everybody know we ain't with you. You ain't got nothing that works for us. And we got to feed our women and raise our children. And I'm not raising them thinking you God no more. Or God is in your image. Or in no image is even worse. But then you leave room for whatever they stamp in your mind. And when you got an unseen God, you're worse than having a seen God. Because unseen God is replaced by superheroes on television who become the God, the unseen God. Because right now you say Allah, you get a picture. Even if you say you don't. If I say God, they say Heavenly Father, you get a white man with a big beard sitting somewhere. Because they've done it through the media. Got to make our own movies. You understand? We got to create our own music. That's why they hate hip-hop. They hate hip-hop because it originated with us and out of us. And it stirred something inside of us. Young boys start getting cocky. They change their walk. They walk with their shoulders and their hips. They like... change them inside. It dug up something in there. It was dormant. And them young boys started losing fear of the white man. Police were getting knocked out on the streets. Beat down. They didn't get to their gun first. It could be over. We gave it up. Moved on to something else. White kids picked it up, took it to the extreme, got black trench coats going around just killing people. Shooting each other up. Fine. Yes. Y'all look good, by the way.
Route back.
I see more and more Afros every week. More and more naturals every week. Y'all look good. Now we got to see some more Santa Buck. Now we got to see some more dreads. Some more gele. Right? Some more of our culture. And be proud of it. Start speaking Nuwapik, your own language. And if they say you made it up, say you made up yours too. What was English before there was an Englishman? What language was English before there was an Englishman? You'll say Anglic and Saxon. What language was Anglic and Saxon before there were Anglic and Saxon? Glue. You think I'm kidding? Oh, you thought I was joking? No, the name of the language is called glue. And they just talk like this. Glue. Glue. I am not, I know y'all think I'm joking, I'm dead serious. They did not have any vowels in it, it just was and we had language, and music, and algebra, and math. I mean, we was out there, and they were still in the mountains going, glue, glue. We couldn't negotiate with them. Yes, anybody? Go ahead.
Rahubat. I have a question about the deity set. You know, we're learning...
Satuk. His real name is Satuk.
Right.
Most of the names they give us is the Greek name. They do that purposely also so we trace back to their meaning. Right. And they make Satuk look like a bad guy and then make it black. And we're back to the same old story where black is bad, except when it comes to lightning. You see? Light is good, except for lightning. Lightning chases white people ass all over the place. No, black is bad, light is good. Lighten the large, Allah is the north, summer, west, you will out of the light of the heavens and earth. Light is good, light is knowledge. Lightning be kicking, but they don't see lightning is bad. Just to drop that on you.
Is the story symbolic with him?
No, he was a real person. He betrayed his brother for authority. But the story is the exact same story of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the same story of, what was the other one? Ishmael and Isaac, the same story of one brother, and it's also the same story in the Sumerian doctrine of Enlil and Enki. That Osiris was appointed by Ra to be the god of the underworld. Now let me tell you why. See, they'll say underworld, they say Enlil, that's hell. Yeah, it is hell to him because it's dark. He can't see in the dark. The panther sees in the dark. The lion doesn't. You hear me? So now, what happens is Osiris was sent from Set, which is Siris, to dwell and rule Shambhala, the underworld. His brother was ruling the earth. He was doing a bad job. They brought Osiris up to take rule. Yeah? Osiris appointed his wife, Aset, who they call Isis, as his co-ruler. Satuk didn't like that. He left Aset in charge of the kingdom, and he went on to negotiate with other rulers. When he came home, his brother set up a party for him. Now, that's why he don't go to parties. Set up a party for him and offered him a sarcophagus. But he offered it by saying, this is the most beautiful sarcophagus laid with stones and gold. Whoever could fit it can have it. So he said, but I want you to try it. And he encouraged him to get in it, sealed it up, and killed it. Put it afloat. It was later found. But before they could get it, his men found it, and he cut his body up into 14 separate parts so that they could not find out that his brother killed him. Because if they did find out his brother killed him, that was against the law of ancient Egypt, to kill your own blood. His wife sought out the body parts and put him back together. They say she mounted his phallus and gave birth to Horus. When actuality, the alchemist Tahuti, Hermes, who's also Melchizedek, Elka, the same person, took semen from him and, what is it called? Artificial insemination. I thought it was another word for it, though. And she gave birth to a son, that's it, who vowed vengeance for his father. Now we're back, now we're down to Hannibal's story, whose father was killed by the Romans, and he's raised and vows vengeance from right next to Egypt now, from Punk, right, which is called Libya, and he vows, or Carthage. Yes, it was a real story, it really took place, and it gave birth to the rivalry of your Bible, where two brothers are at each other. And we start, we can go all the way back to Cain and Abel, and one killed the other, going down. Ishmael and Isaac, you got David's sons, Adonijah, one takes Judea, and one takes, that's where they got the rivalry of brothers that's in your Bible, out of that same story. They were real people. Osiris was a real person. Isis, as they call her, was a real person. Horus was a real person. They lived and walked the earth. Right? And it's on record that they lived and walked the earth and died. You follow that? But they say that they came from beyond the stars. Now that becomes spooky, except when it's Jesus. You know, when it's anybody else, something spooky. But when it comes to Jesus, God came down, sent an angel from heaven with a package. He gave it to her. She had Jesus. That's cool. A package baby is cool. But when I say there's records in Africa that the Dogons keep of the Nummus who came from the star, Sept. And by the way, Sept is where they get September, which is the ninth month, and ties back into the nine, which is our sacred number again. And then he came to earth, or these beings came to earth as the Agdal or the Inanads. You follow that? The Inanads would be equivalent to the angelic beings. The Agdal would be equivalent to the serpent people. Now, they made the serpent people in the Bible the devil, in their Bible. Yet now they admit that human beings were and are reptilians. That we lived in a sack of water, and we still live in a moist atmosphere. We had gills and lungs, and we once were tadpoles and have tails. We have scales that we don't put on cold cream. You follow? So we are a form of reptilian. But the devil in Genesis chapter 3 is called Nahash. And they say serpent, but the word serpent is not there. The word serpent is later in there as tenin, as a dragon, or a form of a dinosaur. But not serpent in Genesis 3, a whisperer. Now, how does that tie in? Because whoever was in Genesis in chapter 3 was whispering to Eve. Snakes don't talk. They can't talk. But humans can whisper. You know what's so interesting about whispering? It takes a certain amount of intelligence to be able to whisper. How loud is a legal whisper? You have to be able to calibrate with your larynx, your voice box, just how much to whisper in order for everybody not to hear. Now, this is what's deep. This is what's deep, right? We're in the garden. You with me? There's Adam and Eve and the serpent. Who else is there? Adam and Eve and the serpent. Who else is there? Huh? God. Okay, let's say God. That's all, right? Nobody else. Who does he wish? Who is it that he don't want to hear him? Nobody else is in the garden. He's whispering. Is there any reason for me to whisper in a room where nobody's at but me and you? Don't you see the mistakes they made in their little stepping stone of lies throughout the scripture? They just lied and it entrapped us in a spell of ignorance and belief and faith. And they make me look bad. because I'm untangled. Oh, he's brainwashing you. I need these brains washed after all the crap you put in my mind, from Superman to Batman to Spider-Man to what you can do and I can't. My sister needs her brains washed and her hair washed, for that matter. You understand what I'm saying? We need this. I'll be the bad man. But that's foul. But I'll be the bad man because we got to straighten this mess out. I'll let the news reporters write what they want about me, but that's foul. You follow? But I'm not going to stop raising my people. You know what I'm saying? You can do anything you feel like. I'm still going to teach the truth.
I have a question to ask. It's concerning the 15th chapter of Revelation, the first verse. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I'm a little puzzled about who are the seven angels with the seven last plagues. What was the last seven plagues?
What you have to realize when you read from 15 to 21 of the Revelation, which is the last chapter, they all are talking about the finality of the prophethood, the plagues on the world, the wars of the world, the fall of Babylon, which is the Babylon you're in, which is the 18th chapter, the coming of the new city, which is the last chapter, the formation of the 144,000, the 1,000 years they reign with the Messiah, how they rise from this, going through the whole thing. And they speak of from that period on, after they're established in the 14th chapter, he says, look, the 14th chapter talks about the Messiah Jesus. All right? And it goes right there. And, well, let me go back. The 13th chapter establishes who the devil is first. And it tells you about the beast and the second beast and the 10 heads. Right? It goes past that there, goes into the second beast. It takes you all the way up. Then we cover the devil himself in the 13th chapter of Revelation. By the time we get to the 14th chapter, it starts to talk about the lamb, as they call him. The Lamb, the gentle one, and 144,000, and how they would rise, and it goes through all of that, the new song that they would sing, which is the Quran itself, and how they'd be redeemed from the earth, and how they would be of men, of human beings, which is going all down to Revelation 14. In 14, certain angels who blew trumpets, and certain angels who were angels of death. They call another angel in 18, another angel in 17, another angel. Then, after establishing who these seven angels are in the 14th chapter, which represents the end plague and the end of the world, then they go on in 15th chapter and say, and I saw another symbol or sign in the heavens, great and marvelous, seven angelic beings having seven last plagues. That means these are the seven last plagues before the end of the world. Does this sound familiar? Sure it does. It takes you right back to Moses and Exodus, and when Moses went into Egypt to try to get the Israelites out for the last chance. After he had warned them and spoke to them and preached to them and performed miracles, then his last chance was seven last plagues that was cast down on Israel, which made the Pharaoh eventually do what?
Let the children of
Let
Israel go.
My people go. That's what Moses said. And the white man today do not want to let you go. He's enjoying persecuting you. All right. In this 15th chapter, these seven angels are the same seven angels that represented the plague that came to Moses. When you get down to, are you or are you not going to let my people go? Minister Farrakhan was talking about that recently, about the fall of America. Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about it. The Holy Quran runs off a whole bunch of chapters, Zilzal, Qariya, Ariyat, Farik. A whole bunch of chapters in there, the end of the last two, that deal with the plagues of the world, the earthquakes, the cracking of the planet, the turning of a thunder, all types of things. These seven angels represent the seven last plagues and judgments on this new city. Why? Because it takes you from 15, but that's one of the shortest chapters in the book of Revelation, right into 16. And then 16 takes you to 17, which establishes the power of the beast when they're released, and 18, the fall of Babylon. Again, the seven angels symbolize the seven last plagues before the end of the world. the seven wrath of the Most High. And I saw as it were a sea, right, of glass mingled with fire. You talk about judgment, hell, like looking through that crystal city like in the book of Revelation in the beginning. And them that had gotten what?
The victory over the beast.
They already conquered over the beast. They're coming to the end of the world. And over his
image.
They don't look like him, just like him. They're back in their white robes again. They no longer live in the image of the beast. No more jelly curls. And
over his mark.
They no longer live by his monetary system. Because his mark has to do with his money, like he mentioned in 13. Anybody that don't have his mark will not be able to buy and sell. So that mark has to do with money, living under his money. We're going to have to break that because, remember, his money gets its worth from our country. He gets his worth for his dollar from Africa. The gold, the platinum, the silver, the diamonds is coming from our country. We will no longer be under that. Go ahead.
And over the number of his name.
That's the 666. He had his time. 666 symbolizes his birth date. And let me go right through it, right quick. June 6th of 1966 in the Dakota House on 72nd Street. In Manhattan, across from Central Park, directly facing Cleopatra's Needle, they performed a necromancy, which is a resurrection of the devil, right up in Manhattan on 72nd Street, and Satan was released from Hades, from the pit, right then, after being tied. That was June 6th of 1966. Now, that may sound crazy until I start giving you some crazy coincidences. Now, here's one of them. They gave y'all a fleet of movies in that period of time. Those movies were such as The Omen, Rosemary's Baby, The Omen 2, The Demon Seed, The Exorcist, Exorcist 2, Exorcist 3. They ran through a whole bunch of things. The Devil's Reign. Now, in these movies, they gave themselves away. The war that broke out, which is called a six-day war in Israel, around June 6th, right? They negotiated it at a place called Camp what?
David.
Now, you go back and watch that Omen movie, you're going to find out that Damien is in a camp called Camp David. Coincidence? Maybe. They say that he was born of a jackal. Correct?
Right.
Now, and the husband of the woman that gave birth to him was an ambassador who came from England to America. Correct?
Right.
And was shot while in the Catholic Church in the back of the head. And according to the movie, the woman gave birth by way of a jackal. Coincidence. The woman lost the baby and they replaced it with the demon seed. The Pope came here and gave a big speech in the Yankee Stadium on June 6th of 1966. Remember, the word coincident means two incidents. First, you get one incident. The second is a coincidence. Anything over co is no longer a coincidence. All this is a coincidence now, right? Now, in that picture, the Omen, they show you that once that president was shot, that a man was at the graveyard, and he took the responsibility for the little boy, Damien. Then he was sent to Belgium, where he resides today. Coincidence that the computer, IBM, happened to come out of Belgium. And the master computer is called IBM 3666. And it's being programmed by somebody they won't tell the world who it is. And in his programming, he has managed from June 6th of 1966 to engage every continent in the world is in war. And every government is seeing financial fall away. And there's been a plague of new diseases and new drugs and all forms of pornography and degradation and evil since June 6th of 1966. Coincidence. Now, write IBM on the board, clear. And I want people to tell me, anyone who saw the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, I want y'all to see something. But in that movie, the computer took over. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
The computer took over. Now, watch when you write IBM. What comes before it? What comes before I?
H.
What comes before B?
A.
What comes before?
L.
How? How happened to be the same name of the computer that took over in the movie 2001 Space Odyssey? They said, how? Why are you doing this to us, how? How happens to be an Arabic word meaning I can do it. You understand? Now, all of these are coincidences. Let me go back over them. It's a coincidence that the movie Omen was about a man who was a politician who was a Catholic. He got shot in the head while trying to stab the devil boy, right? in the church. Coincidence. Then his wife's name is Jackie, and Jackal and Jacqueline is the same. Coincidence. They happen to live up on 72nd Street in a Dakota house, which is a known satanic building. Coincidence. The Pope happened to come in on June 6th of 1966, which would be 6666. Coincidence. And the Revelation 13 tells us it's the number of men. Since then, there's been a rash of satanic movies. One after another, every year, in fact, three or four times a year, there's some new movie about the devil and how he wins. Coincidence. Somebody is being educated. Then there's a rash after 66 of satanic murders, satanic cults. You notice something about your satanic murders and satanic cults? You hear about any black ones? No. Why? Why is there no black satanic cults and mutilations of animals and mutilation of bodies? Why? How come? Black people follow everything else the white man says. How come they ain't following down that path? And I'm not talking racism. I'm talking common sense here. This is for real. Now, if you want to call the movie The Omen and the movie The Exodus and the movie, where did they start the Exodus at? In Syria, right? They started with the Adhan, the call to prayer. And a Catholic preacher comes all the way from an Islamic country, which don't even make sense, all the way back to America to try to exorcise the devil out of this little girl. What's her name?
Reagan.
What's her name?
Reagan.
What? Can you say that one more time?
Reagan.
Now, that's a heck of a coincidence, huh? Now, think about that. And the funny thing about it is, did the Christian preacher succeed in getting the devil out of Reagan? No. The devil threw him through a window and went on and possessed somebody else. You understand? Now, if you want to call all of these movies and all of these incidents coincidence, that's solely your prerogative. But I'm telling you, the devil is in the flesh. He came up out of the pit on June 6th of 1966, and the whole world is in danger. Not just white, black, Italian, Jew, Polish, Irish. The world is in danger. Whites who don't know that the devil's on earth is doing just as bad as you. You better believe it. Because they don't know. Don't think all white people know. All of them know they're the devil and they got a big conspiracy. They don't know. They find out gradually that what their people did is not normal. And they thought then, our ancestors did some treacherous and some cold-hearted things. Now, you want to take all these equations about the devil and call them a coincidence, that's your business. Now, let me ask you another question. What color was Damien, white or black?
White.
What color was Rosemary, white or black?
White.
Rosemary's baby?
White.
I mean, what does he have to do to tell you who he is? Tell me one movie where they depict a black man as a devil, except for Bill Cosby. And they did that, and then made him the biggest black person you ever know. They gave him a movie first, where they depicted him as a devil, in a comedy. And then after that, he became the number one black example. He had the best program, the top rating, the best. You call that, you think it's a coincidence? When they say, Arsenio Hall got to go off television because he's too black? How can a person black be too black? I've seen some black people. I travel around the world. I've been to Africa, and I've seen some black people, and they're not too black for me. How can a man like Arsenio Hall be too black? I could see if they was looking at somebody with dreads, with a, you know, with some African culture, with an ox bottle or a food on, sit up there with, you know, with, I can understand him saying, no, he looks too black. But I can understand a guy sitting up there with jerry curls, eyeliner on, that's too black. That's too buckwheat, you mean? And they're worried about Arsenio Hall pull that man off television and got some of the blandest people up there. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you liked the program. Because he made you laugh. Because you watched it. Arsenio Hall had a good program. It was funny. And the ratings were shooting up too high. You know Ben Vereen did what they call blackface? Ben Vereen. Brother. What are you doing to us in 88? Here we take all this time to live there. We fought up to the 60s and lost. We had a riot in the 60s. We lost. I wonder why we keep losing. You know why? Because we were very successful in the 60s in writing poetry. We just aren't no fighters, man. Stop fooling yourself. You be punching somebody and be trying to figure out how to stop. You ever engage in a fight with somebody and hope somebody break it up? I got ready to get into a fight. Y'all was ready. I'm going to duke him. I'm going to stop him. I'm going to do this to him. I'm gonna, on the way to the fight, your friends is carrying you on. Yeah. I'm going to do this. Get in the fight. You'll be mad at your friends because they don't break it up. That's how you are. You're not no killer. You're not a killer. You're not violent. You've been pushed in the corner. If you push a mice into the corner, he'll attack you. You've been pushed, and now you're acting crazy. You can argue. Now, black person give you a telephone fight. They get your telephone. They curse you out. But if you're talking about meet me somewhere, I'll meet you. I'll be there. Just the opposite. 10 miles this way, black person go 10 miles the other. You know that. Don't fool yourself. You're not no fighter. Don't be sucked into it by no revolutionary movement marching around the street and get your head bashed in. It ain't worth it. Do it the other way. You understand? If I tell you the other way, he'll know what it is. Anybody who don't understand the other way nowadays is crazy. Okay.
One more question I want to ask you. What is faith?
The word faith in Arabic means iman. It means having facts beyond any doubt. It does not mean believing in something you cannot prove. It means believing in something that you know has already been proven a fact. Not just don't say I have faith and it's blind. There's no such thing. Faith is when you put your trust in something because it has been proven. You follow?
How do you gain faith?
By looking up at night, take your mate. You have a mate?
Yes.
Take your mate and go to the mountain. And when it's dark, look up at the stars and realize how insignificant you are as an individual. You understand? In the daytime, just sit down on the grass and watch an ant hill. And watch a bunch of little ants moving. And then see how significant you are, on the other hand. And place yourself somewhere between insignificant and very significant, and you have step one to faith. You understand what I mean?
Yes. Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question. How does Islam relate to or contrast or compare with the Egyptian quote-unquote mystery system and traditional African beliefs like in Shango and the other?
Okay. When they use the word Shango, remember, Shango is just one of the deities on the Erishi who was once a human being. When you go back to Ini Iti and Oyo, you come back to Oduduwa. Remember the name Oduduwa? Oduduwa is the founder of the Yoruba temple, and Oduduwa is from the Yoruba language, from the Arabic for Wadud. Oduduwa and Wadud is the same. Wadud means the loving. The Yoruba people were originally Arabs who migrated to Africa from Egypt because they were idol worshippers when Muhammad came on the scene. When Muhammad then destroyed the idols, a lot of those Arabs did not just stop worshiping. They took their ancestral worship and moved deeper into Africa. You understand? So when you get to Shango, Obatala, Yemaya, Ogun, and many of the deities of the African Orishis, you're talking about human beings who died and did great things, the same way me and you talk about Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, etc., etc., etc. If you come across a brother who's deep into reggae, and you say Bob Marley, he almost sees Bob Marley as a deity in a subtle kind of way because of the inspiration, the knowledge, and the feeling that Bob Marley portrayed on him. And some people feel that way about James Brown. All right? So a lot of deity worship has come out of ancestral worship, which has come out of admiration for individuals. So the African faith does extend right into El Islam because people in Africa was exposed to Tawhid, the oneness. Let me go back to Egypt now. When you get to Unkenunten, not put Unkaman, because it's Aten and Amen. Aten was a deity of a Mushrik, many gods, and Amen was vice versa. Aten was one, and Amen was many. Okay? Unkenunten, or Unkenaten, was one who said he acknowledges that with the Ankh, the key to get to the other side, to eternal life, you will be met by one deity. Where when they say Amen, you said Ankh and Amen, you'd be saying with the key of life, when I open the door to the other world, I will meet many deities. How did this happen is the question. When you go back to the Torah and get it into the Hebrew language, what happens is, in the beginning, they keep using the word Elohim, and then they say Yahuwah Elohim. In the beginning was Elohim. The last two letters, him, in Hebrew, is pluralization, just like Allahumma. The hum means more than one. So they're saying Eloh, Allah, and hum, and his heavenly host, which created a pluralization in the word Elohim, of which Jesus was a part of, why they say he was in the beginning, before Abraham. because a part of the Elohim, okay? When you bring it to a single, you get Allah or Elohim. When in Hebrew they stopped using the name Elohim because the pluralization confused people, they started referring to him as Oh He Who Is. So they said Yahuwah, which became known as Yahuwah, which became known as Jehovah. So therefore, some ancient descendants held on to the Elohim doctrine and still believe in the combination of the Heavenly Father and all of his angels, which is what we call the Orishi. When you say Obatala, you're really going Oba in Yoruba, Father Ta'ala, the Most High, Arabic, the Most High Father, Obatala. You see what I'm saying? It all stems back to the ancient Torah when they got confused between Elohim and Eloh, or Allahumma and Allah, when he's classified as a we, which includes him and all of his angels and creative forces, as opposed to as a he, which is the source or the essence of all creation. So Jango, Obatala, Ogun, Yemaya, and all our ancestors were nothing but our ancestors who we still respect but should not worship. You follow that? We should respect them the same way Christians go to a grave and respect by putting flowers down, and Jews go to a grave and they put a stone on the gravestone to represent they were there. That is the same thing as going before Shango and them. And in our religion, we would put fruit out and such. Then later, when it got into South America and they combined it with Christianity, we started having saints, this, saints, that, and it became another whole kind of practice. And then they had good and bad. Some were righteous and some became evil, so you get witchcraft out of that, invoking evil spirits to do your bidding as opposed to righteous or just respecting your dead. Okay? And Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't go to graveyards and put things down and, you know, cry and weep, because that's a form of ancestral worship. Give all that adoration to the Heavenly Father, all right, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? I hope I helped you.
Just another thing also, they talk about the, in the mystery system, the 10 bodily fetters, and the system of discipline, of the discipline in oneself and, you know, attaining that, some of them.
Right, the 10 principles, they call them. Mm-hmm. They come from Tai Chi, all right? A Tai Chi is an art of using the Latifa in Arabic. The Latifa is the chi point. The chi point is 1 inch below your navel. If you put your hand there, you feel there's a dent there. That's an energy center in the body. All right? Now, in the ancient Hindi practices, they had what they call the seat or the chakras. And these chakras were centered around certain glands, which they say gave off certain electrical impulses, which resulted in aura change and energy. But them 7 glands be broken down into 2, because you had 2 thyroid glands. You had the pituitary and the pineal gland. So instead of having 7, you would end up with 2, which they grabbed out of the ancient Egyptian doctrine of the 7 seats of power that man had, which came out of 10 principles. So men learned to breathe properly. It would go down to the Nile, and they would have certain type of dances, which later became known as the death dance, because it symbolizes conquering death. And they went down at sunrise at the Nile, and they did these dances, which later on became known as Tai Chi, when the Japanese experienced it, because they traveled, as you know, the Chinese and Japanese were traveling over to Egypt, everybody knows that. And they brought that over there and developed it. The same way Kung Fu came from Kung Fu Te, which is the name of a man. Developed later on, it became an art. Okay?
Do you give me something on that would specify who the beast is that's spoken of in Revelation and all the way back to even the beginning of the Bible?
They use different words for beast, first of all. When you read beast, they have living creatures in the language, and they just translate it as beast. Some books have went as far as saying dragon, right? And dragon meant demon, a big demon. And the reason why they did that is because they wanted to make a difference between that gender when it's speaking of an animal as opposed to a man.
Differentiate.
You differentiate between when they speak of an animal and a man. And most of the time in the book of Revelation, when they're speaking about them, they're using a gender that applies to a human being, the way they describe them. They're using whom and ulaika instead of haulaika, you know, and who are it. They're not using it, they're using he and they as beings for the beast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is It depends on where in the scripture they are and what they're talking about.
I have let the physical devil in the community inside the hearts of many black people. So what's the difference? Many black people know the truth and still live a lie.
Right.
They are just as much of a devil as any white person with white skin.
Right.
If you know that you're supposed to be in white and you got on black, tell me why you're doing it. All right, so now that would make you equal. Now, if the woman that you're looking at in front of you happens to be white, and
right.
she puts on white before you do, who's holier, you or her?
Okay.
You ain't answering the question. Who's holier, you or her?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you answer the question, not me.
Yes, bro.
Truth is truth.
I would like to know how I can help my mother, how I can help my mother's soul and, and her spirit for the simple fact that she's living with a devil, so-called Jew, white, and had a baby wife.
By not tormenting her about things you don't understand.
Say that again?
By not tormenting her about things you don't understand. That's how you can help her.
Explain that.
If your mother married a Jew
right.
and has a baby by a Jew,
right.
and the baby is there, you know they're already living together, right?
Right.
And they consider themselves in love, right?
Right?
All you're doing is making her uncomfortable by presenting her with truth that she doesn't need to hear yet. Set your example right and let her look into your example to find a way.
We now have a series of over 90 True Light tapes by popular demand, our master teacher and spiritual guide, Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, has for your listening pleasure and enlightenment a series of over 90 True Light tapes covering such topics as why use the books of the New Testament? Is Allah's name Jehovah? The 200 fallen angels, which Jesus do you follow, and much, much more. Also write or ask for a list of the most dynamic books in history, authored by the world-renowned scholar, Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. May Allah protect him. We will now continue with our broadcast.
Tell them it don't mean nothing. Burning down a person's house does not mean they won't live. Just mean they won't live there.
And my aunt is into this Buddhism stuff. And she started, you know, she tells me she wants me to get into it because she says, you know, she does all these chants and whatnot. She says this phrase, Nam Renge Kyo or something like that.
Yeah, it's a vibration, yeah.
And all kinds of stuff like money, cars, and all kinds of clothes and all kinds of stuff is happening to her.
Tell her, is that coming from the Most High? In other words, somebody that they worship tells them, if you chant this certain slogan, I'll give you the things of this world.
Right.
Tell her, what we follow is telling us, if we be good, he'll give us the things in the next world. This world spans 80 years. The next world spans boundless time. Tell us, so all the wealth and accumulations of this world will perish. So go on and keep Yamo, Rangi, Kang, Kang, all you want.
My question is, why is it important for the Nubian women and men here in the West to dress as Muslims?
Because nowhere ever in Rasulullah Muhammad's khutbah, to his first words, has he ever given us an intercession from practicing what all the other prophets did. It said, this day have I completed for you your deed, and called it al-Islam. It was completed back in the year 631, because he died in 632 when he got his last revelation. No man can come along with no book after the seal of the prophets came, which was Muhammad, the Ahmed, the Comforter, and the seal of the book, which is the Bayina, the Quran, and come and give us any writing and tell us that it is dominating the Quran, like the hadith that the Sunnis live by. I live by the Kalim Allah, or Kalam Allah, the words of Allah. That is the book of its prophets, and not by the books of men who only write them for a prophet. So we dress the way the prophets dress because we have not got any message from Allah through any new prophet, which would never come, telling us it's all right for us to dress in the image of the beast or in the likeness of the beast, which is what people are doing, living in his image and after his likeness and receiving his mark. We're supposed to live the way Jesus lived, Moses lived, and Muhammad lived, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't alter it or update it because no law or commandment gives us the right to do that.
So all these advertisements for clothing, tight jeans, tight sweaters, you know, making the body, you know, appear to everybody is not supposed to be done here at all by anyone.
You're right. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. when they first got seduced by Satan. And remember, the Quran also tells Adam's descendants, be careful because the devil is going to try to seduce you and sway you. And the first thing he's going to do in seduction and swaying is make you take off your garments, take off your robes, all right? Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, that talks about the first contact that man and woman had with the serpent, the devil, all right? By the time you get to the seventh verse, which is after you already messed us around, it says, and the eyes of them both, meaning Adam and Eve, both of their eyes were open, right?
Yes.
And they knew that they were
naked.
So what did they do?
They sewed fig leaves together.
And made?
Made aprons.
An apron is a short-fitting garment. It's not a full-length garment, right?
Yes.
But over in the same chapter, when the Lord finally put judgment on them, in 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, he puts judgment on them. But now when he gets to 21, look what he says to them.
He says, unto Adam also and to his wife,
that's right,
did the Lord Allah
make coats of skin to clothe them. When they first discovered their shame, they only covered part of their body. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stepped in, he told them to cover their whole body.
How can the Christian churches, the people who say they follow the Messiah, justify wearing the clothes that they do?
Because nowhere in the teachings of the Messiah did he address the way they dressed, because he thought, as he taught, that they was going to follow the law of Moses. He said the law came from Moses. And if you go back to the books of Moses and Abraham, women wore face veils. Men wore long white robes. When they describe Jesus in the book of Revelation, they say he had a long white robe down to his ankles. You follow?
Yes.
He thought that all the people who lived in his time dressed that way. It was that malicious demon Paul who took everybody off the teachings of the Messiah and gave them the worship of a man called Bar Jesus, which y'all might have heard about, who everybody now begin to find out is who people are worshiping when they think they're worshiping Christ. Jesus never gave laws on how to dress, because he didn't come to do that. He came to give grace, which was forgiveness, and truth, to set this record straight. But he never told them how to get married. He never told them how to wash. He never told them how to eat. He never told them how to dress. Thus, he sent another comforter, which is what he said in St. John chapter 16. He explains to them in that book why another comforter was necessary. Because he said, because you believe not on me. Right?
That's right.
So let's look at it and see what it says.
Where?
St. John chapter 16. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Don't be upset. They shall put you out of the synagogue. And he knew they was going to leave the synagogue and become Christians, fall into this new religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch what he says. Yea, the time cometh, which means it's future, that whoever killeth you will think that he does God's service. Jesus is telling the day is going to come, like Muhammad said, when death will mean nothing to people. They'll think they're doing the right thing by killing people. We just killed some ragheads. We just killed some Arabs, like it's a big deal. Like they're serving the Almighty by taking life. And he says in his commandments what? Thou shalt not kill. He doesn't differentiate whether it's Arab, Jew, Chinese, Japanese. He says don't kill. You didn't give life, you don't take it. Let's go on. Number three. And these things will they do unto you because what?
They have not known the Father nor me.
He said, the reason why they're going to kill you, because they don't know Allah, and he separated himself, nor me. He didn't say, know my Father as me, know me as my Father. He said, because they don't know my Father, Abby, nor me, and they don't know me, the Messiah. Then what did he say?
And he said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you
at
the beginning.
I didn't teach you about these things. He said, when I first started talking to you guys, I didn't tell you all these things were going to happen. Right? Because what?
Because I was with you.
And the prophecy was that nothing would happen to any of the disciples while he was there. He said, so nothing would happen. But now I go my way to him that did what?
Sent me.
Which would translate that made me his Rasul, made me his apostle, sent me. He's going back to someone who sent him. If Jesus was God, how could he be sent? Who sends God anywhere? How can you be sent somewhere if you're God? You send people if you're God. You don't get sent. And if you are God and the Father and the Son, I know you're not going to send yourself. It's stupidness. It's ridiculousness. Go ahead. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me whither goest thou. None of y'all bother to ask me where I'm going. But because I said these things unto you, sorrow filled your face. Then he goes on. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or better for you that I go away. Why?
For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you.
But
if I depart, I will send him.
Now,
unto
the Holy
you.
Spirit comes from the Father as an angel. Jesus can't send Holy Spirit. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And when he is come,
what would he do?
He will reprove the world.
Of what?
Of sin.
Now, is Jesus going to reprove the world of sin?
No.
Or is Jesus going to send us? Let's just backtrack and go out of his mouth, not out of Reverend Rib's mouth. Let's go right out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus said that when the Comforter comes, what would he do? He will reprove the world of sin. Did Jesus say he himself was going to do this, or that he was going to send someone to do it?
Okay.
Now, go back and read it. Jesus said in St. John chapter 16, verse 8, and when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of
righteousness
and of
judgment
of sin because
they believe not on me.
So he talked to his own disciples. He said, you're going to suffer for one reason and one reason only. Because regardless of what I tell y'all, y'all still don't believe. And how do you know they don't believe? I'll tell you simply. Because the day after the crucifixion, when he supposed to came to the upper room 8 days after seeing Mary Magdalene, they didn't believe. They were scared when Jesus came in the room. They were supposed to believe, according to their teaching, that he died on the cross for their sins and resurrected, correct? That's their belief. So how come when he walked in the room, they were scared if they believed that it happened? They didn't believe it. That's why they said, if I don't see no holes in his hand, if I don't see no nail prints, I'm not going to believe it. So what was Jesus talking about for 3.5 years when he was teaching them? If they get to that point and the first thing that comes out their mouth, if I don't see no nail prints, I don't see no holes in the nails, I'm not going to believe it. That means, did they believe Jesus when he was teaching them? No. Did they believe Jesus after his so-called crucifixion? No. When did they believe Jesus? They didn't believe Jesus. His disciples never believed. They doubted all the way up until he met them. He told them to cast their nets over the side of the boat to get fish because they fished all night. They didn't recognize him. And then one of them said, that's Jesus. And then Jesus told some of them to come. As Peter and John came towards Jesus, Jesus started asking Peter questions. Are you going to take care of my flock? Are you going to take care of my flock? He knew they didn't believe. He knew they doubted. This is right in the book of St. John, the last chapter. He knew they didn't believe. Go ahead. Let's see what he said. Of righteousness, because I go to
my Father.
Where is he going? Is he going back to heaven to be the Father? Is he going back to his throne as God in heaven?
No.
Where do you say he's going?
To his Father.
And what?
And
ye see
me no more.
He said, y'all ain't going to never see me again. Now, that's kind of funny because he said he's coming back. Correct? But when he comes back, the disciples ain't going to see him. The next time the disciples will see him is in the place that he said he went to prepare for them in heaven. When he comes back to earth, they won't see him. Go ahead.
Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged.
Now, here's the part that answers the question about the clothes. Why do people not know how to dress, eat, think, walk, talk, Christ-like? Because he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, all the things I'm supposed to teach you, you're not ready for. I have many things to teach you, but you're not ready for them. So, I'm going to send someone who will. What? However,
howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Keep with them he, that's right.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
This is what Jesus spoke about what happened. That man is going to come, and he who had the Holy Spirit is going to come after him, and he is going to pick up the teaching. Now, who came after Jesus? One prophet. I want y'all, anyone, to tell me what prophet in history came after Jesus who brought a book, who taught law, who taught people how to dress,
He taught people to prostrate in prayer the way Jesus fell on his face in the garden and prayed. This man told people to fall on their face and pray. The way Jesus was gowned in Revelation with a white robe, this man told them to wear a white robe and a turban on their head. The way Jesus did not eat pork, this man said don't eat pork. The way Jesus kept the Sabbath and the preparation of the Sabbath on Friday to Saturday, this man kept the preparation on the Sabbath. What man came in history after Jesus that you can find through all the history of the world who was classified as a prophet, who successfully taught people about Jesus and how Jesus was glorified in heaven and in earth and how he was the word of Allah, the spirit of Allah, the Messiah, son of Mary, the son of man? What other man did that? None but a man named Muhammad who came in Arabia. None other. There has never been one in history, and there won't be any. He came with the message that Jesus said he would bring in this chapter, right in 16, but people still don't believe. Still don't want to accept it. Still don't want to dress right. Still don't want to stop eating pork. Still don't want to fall down their face and pray. So they're on their path to hell.
I have an aunt, and she considers herself a saint. She lives in Michigan, and the people there, you know, the Christians there are just very, very, very deeply. Well, you know, it's scary sometimes. You go in their church, and they do all sorts of things in it. And she said she was a saint, so she was talking to my mother on the phone. We recently had a stream of deaths in our family, and they all seemed to come, like, at an even time span apart. And then my mother got sick, and she says that she spoke to my other aunt, who was the same too. They both spoke to the same. And they were speaking in tongues, and, you know, they just have this feeling. Hey, can you explain tongues to me? I mean, you
yes,
touched on it earlier.
I think it's funny, you know, that they go through all of that kind of stuff, because if you look in the books that they talk about, the books of Luke, where they get it from, which is the book of Acts, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the second chapter, this is when they start talking about what tongues is. And they say, and when the day of Pentecost, which really would have been translated, when the 50th day came, they stuck the word Pentecost in there and left it. The word Pentecost is from the word like pentagram, and Pentecost just means the 50th day. 50 days after Jesus left, is what they're really saying, was fully come, right? They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Okay?
They were all?
All the disciples sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongue, I mean splitted tongue, like as a fire, not fire, but like fire. And it sat upon each of them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with, somebody read that word.
Others.
Other tongues. The Christians keep saying speaking in tongues. They just take the word other out and throw it away. The reason why it says other tongues, as we're going to read, is because these people all spoke one dialect, one language. So watch what happens. Other tongues. Right? As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling, and where were they at? At Jerusalem, Judahites, or Jews. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. So in Judea, there was religious Jews who had been spread throughout the world gathered there. Now, when this was noised abroad or made noted by everybody, the multitude came together. And they were confounded because, they were confused with men because that every man did what? Heard them speak in his own what? Language. The speaking of tongues is that people were confused when they saw the disciples because everybody knew that they spoke one language, being that they were Galileans. They spoke only Hebrew. Now they came down all of a sudden with the power to do what? Speak other languages. Now what? 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? That's the meaning. Let's look at this. Isn't all these men that are speaking to us in these different languages, aren't they all Galileans? In other words, shouldn't they just be speaking one language, Hebrew? Then it says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, not in tongue, gibberish, in our own tongue, which is mentioned back in 6 as language, wherein we were born. How come we hear these men now speaking in our languages? They're not speaking gibberish. They're supposed to be speaking Hebrew. How come they speak in Greek and Aramaic? But not only that, they're literally going to tell you what languages they spoke. goes on to number 9. It says, Parthians, which is Arabic, because Parthians is Egypt. And Medes, and Medes is Persian, which is the language Pharisee. And Elamites, the Elamites spoke Phoenician. And the dwellers in Mesopotamia, which spoke Chaldean, where Abraham came from. And in Judea, which spoke Hebrew. And in Cappadocia, which spoke Greek. And in Pontus, which spoke Arabic. And in Asia, which speaks another dialect of Arabic. And in Bulgaria, and in Pamphylia, and it goes on, it says, and in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, Egypt, Arabic, Libya, Arabic, Cyrenus, Greece, and strangers of Rome, Latin, Jews speaking a language of Phoenician again, and what they're doing, and Proselytes, which are Greeks. Now, Crete, which is Greek, and Arabian, Arabic. Then it says, we do hear them speak in what? Our, the wonderful works of God. You see that? Speaking in tongues has nothing whatsoever to do with the Pentecostal church is pretending. Speaking in tongues, according to the books of Acts, right here, is the power that disciples were given to speak all those languages of those places. That's why they didn't translate that. They left all those funny good speakers, but they just endowed with a lot of loyalty and faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And certain men had the power to heal. To another, the working of miracles. Those men could change the weather. Like Jesus raised the dead and Elijah raised the dead. Certain men had the power to raise miracles. To another, prophecy. Certain men had the ability to predict things that was going to happen. Like things like John did in the book of Revelation. With the power of the coming of the end of the world and the signs he could watch. To another, discerning of spirits. Certain men had the power to push the demons out of people who were possessed. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. The word diverse means the ability to speak different languages. And that's the one that the disciples received. The seventh one, the ability to speak different kinds of tongues, which I just got to read in Acts 2. Right? And the last one, just because we're here. To another, which is the eighth form of the Spirit, the interpretation of tongues. Some men had the ability to translate tongues that they don't speak. They heard these men speaking in their tongues. This is what tongues is about. It has nothing whatsoever to do with this fiction that the Pentecostal church is duplicating from African traditions, bimbes, and voodoo worship of people banging on drums and chanting and people getting possessed. They have that in South America, they have it in Africa, they have it in Haiti, and there's a ritual where they play drums and they chant, they play tambourines, and somebody gets possessed, starts acting like dust and stuff, they put blood and they have sickness. That's what they're talking about. They have got what happened at the day of Pentecost seriously mixed up with some devil worship because they follow the unholy spirit, not the holy spirit. So what they're talking about is coming from the devil. If the saints are talking about, say spirits are talking to them. Believe me, you can get a Ouija board and spirits are talking to you. They don't have to be good spirits. Dead people are constantly finding their contact with the living. And they will speak to you. And what they do is they always give you some good advice first so they can lure you. Wicked spirits give you good advice first and they lure you into devil. And then they take possession of your soul. So according to the Bible, I hope I answered it. According to the Bible, they're not speaking about tongues that they're talking about. They're speaking about languages, and they tell you what languages they are, and which spirit, which percentage of the spirit, which is the 7th percentage, is the diverse kinds of tongues which the disciples spoke on that 50th day after Jesus left. Please tell the world, stop this gibberish about speaking in tongues and foaming out the mouth and hitting each other with tambourines and falling. Please cut this out because it's a sin, a serious sin.
Question. Now you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about the true story of the Messiah Jesus, peace and blessings upon him. Take an adventure through the Christ series, and you will be astounded by what you thought you knew. This is
The True Light, coming live from the Lamb of Allah on Mount Zion, the City of Peace. Rabboni, Asaid, Asa, the Hadi al-Mahdi. He is the only being who is preparing us the seed of Abraham. Refer to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Nubians of the world for the return of the Messiah. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So, whether you are a Christian, Jew, or Mohammedan, have a seat, relax, and grab a pen and some paper, and open your scriptures and listen to the earth-shocking truths taught by Rabboni Asaid Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi as he brings us back to the true way of life, the religion of Abraham. El Quran, chapter 2, verse 130, in part, and as for him who turned away, rejecting the law from the religion of Abraham, he makes a fool of himself. You are now listening to The True Light with Asaid Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi.
The Lamb come in front of the congregation, the community, and tell them that Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to him in a dream saying that Wali Abdul Muhammad Ali and the man that the Nation of Islam put up today for Farad Muhammad, it's the same people, but their parents was groomed different. Then he told the community, after telling them this, that he was wrong for printing a book or bringing out literature that taught that Wali Abdul Muhammad Ali was the original teacher of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but Master Farad Muhammad was an imposter, like in front of the congregation.
Understanding. So, whether you are a Christian, Jew, or Mohammedan, have a seat, relax, and grab a pen and some paper, and open your scriptures and listen to the earth-shocking truths taught by Rabboni Asaid Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi as he brings us back to the true way of life, the religion of Abraham. El Quran, chapter 2, verse 130, in part, and as for him who turned away, rejecting the law from the religion of Abraham, he makes a fool of himself. You are now listening to The True Light with Asaid Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi.
The Lamb come in front of the congregation, the community, and tell them that Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to him in a dream saying that Wali Abdul Muhammad Ali and the man that the Nation of Islam put up today for Farad Muhammad, it's the same people, but their parents was groomed different. Then he told the community, after telling them this, that he was wrong for printing a book or bringing out literature that taught that Wali Abdul Muhammad Ali was the original teacher of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but Master Farad Muhammad was an imposter, like was like a deceiver, like the Apostle Paul.
I want to mention but to deal with them. And they keep referring back to the leaflet that they did, which was the apology. Women, that was their way to most of the time. The way to address that is quite simple. Say, he's putting another leaflet out. Say, on the line, Muhammad spoke to him again. And said, everything y'all are doing is right except one thing. And that is, y'all should be in the answer all up and everything. You follow my point. If they say no, then you say, why is it that you could believe this leaflet? It said things you wanted to hear from that man. But from the same man, this leaflet, it says something you don't want to hear, you don't believe. So therefore, it's leaflet that has some purpose. You follow that? If you no longer believe in what this man says, then the first leaflet has no purpose. If you do believe in what the man says, then the first leaflet stands as it is, but we have no reason to discuss Master Far Muhammad. Yeah. So no purpose. They'd be so involved in our doctrine, we don't have time to worry about whether he came out of the white man or not. If I'm trying to follow the 5% of the middle leaflet, you mentioned them, that A, you made the same mistake that Bernard Phillips made. You said I was born in 1935 and not 1945 in the beginning of your book, which shows that you copied that from Bernard Phillips along with other information that is inside of it. If you copied it from Bernard Phillips, then you're either admitting that Bernard Phillips is a divine God, a 5%, a supreme being. But if you, as a 5% of a citizen of God, if you a Sunni Muslim doctrine, then you must be confessing to his divinity. If I'm saying that, if you could quote him in a leaflet about us, then you should be following Bilal Phillips. Now, there's quite a few other things Bilal Phillips talked about. One of them is how Allah is not a moral man, which he got the whole tape on, right, when he's attacking the nation of Islam. So now, are y'all going to hear that? Or if you remove the part out of your leaflet that Bilal Phillips put in there, which will be 75% of the 20-page leaflet anyway, right, and eliminate. That's all. But the way to deal with the other pamphlet is he's putting another pamphlet out. Same way. If all that, I'm just saying right. Same fraud, same old guys, you know. Shit. That's the point. He failed. He failed. Who cares? So, and in this one he says, right, everything is right, so y'all come in and join with us right now. It's when Elijah Muhammad told him to dream up on your ship, if Farrakhan spoke about. You coming? No, that's crazy. Then okay, then don't believe the first reason. Answer to the question. You know what I'm saying?
In the book of the Bible, 7:165, it speaks of the descendants of Cain waging war with the inhabitants of you. The question you would ask me to ask you.
That's on the north. It's also on the north.
I'm not familiar with that court. Mm-hmm. But the question was, how were they able to defeat the inhabitants of New York if they were highly civilized, more civilized than the descendants
of Cain? Very good question, because they weren't warriors. You can be civilized means you're not a warrior. See, the difference is the 5% doctrine is the 5% mock themselves as animals by calling themselves the civilized. They say, we are the civilized. I am not civilized. I am a civilizer. Civilizer means that you are once in an uncivil state and brought to a civil state. Father, when they say we are civilized, say I am not civilized. I am a civilizer. I'm the one who civilized the devil who is in non-civil happiness. The elders did not fight back against these people when they attacked them. They did not fight back. They just took their ship to the left and let them explode. His plan almost in half, which is the book. And he's the friend called the Red Sea. And after the Red Sea, it separated Africa from Asia, as they say, which is Saudi Arabia from Jenna, which is really the same place in one time. That's just all the fact. What's wrong with the 5% really is that they only have 5% of the necessary intelligence to get the point to us. Now, let me tell you, what I'm saying about it, they don't base anything on any facts. It's real easy when a person asks you, who are you, to say, I'm an Asiatic black man, make all the things of family, father, civilization, and God, universe. It's easy to rattle that on. But then when someone says, let's dissect what you're saying. I am an Asiatic black man. Now, Asia is a very large country, and it comprises many different cultural and ethnic groups. which one of them, or are you all of them when you say an Asiatic black man? Do you mean that you are Malaysian, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Chinese, Mongolian, Indian, Pakistani, now they broke up into two different countries? What do you mean by Asiatic black man? Because there are no Africans that are Asiatic black men, according to the present day and ancient map. You follow that? So now, Asiatic black man, maker, owner, cream of the planet Earth, right? Father of civilization. See, that's why I said I'm a civilizer. And God of the universe. Now, so in that lesson, they separate the planet Earth from the universe. Asiatic black man, maker, owner, queen, saucer, cream of the planet Earth. That's one planet. Father of the civilization, that was the father of all civilization, and God of the universe. The planet Earth is in the universe. The universe is not within the planet Earth. You understand? And if they're on the planet Earth and everything is real, homeboy, then the universe is out there or around us. So were you here when the foundation of the universe was laid, or were you here when the foundation for the Earth was laid in order for you to be the cream of it, the semen of it, the source of its life? Which one are you, brother man? You follow? So now if you are the cream of the planet Earth, then you are from the material plane. And as you can see, everything is real, everything is matter, everything is how you see, where they smell or feel, and it ain't nothing spooky. As a spooky, I'm your mouth. And if it ain't spooky, brother, then brother, pound, and 13, and it's dead. And it ain't coming back, but the left and see, and nobody came back from the dead. It's in the past. Now, if you are father of the universe, then you were here to create the universe before this planet Earth, the third planet in this galaxy, Mercury, Venus, Earth, was created. And Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Titan, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, accurate. And all of them are different ages based on their content. You understand that? So now, which brother man, which of the planets did you create first? Think now before you act stupid. Now, if you created Earth first and became the queen of the planet Earth, and Earth is not the oldest planet in the galaxy, then you be first and go create the next one, because you got feet, oh boy. You walk in body. You attached to the Earth. You're subject to the centrifugal and centrifugal forces that surround the planet. Gravity. So your feet are on the Earth, and there are planets that were born after the planet Earth. Did you get up off the planet Earth and go there and stay in the realm of reality? Don't go spook on me. How'd you do it? And if you were God before you became man, the way you say Master Prophet Muhammad was God before he became man, because his father was God, and they birthed to him as man, and he used some man, if you follow Allah and Muhammad's teachings, they were all laid. Don't be taking and choosing the parts you want. And then they knew some of the lessons, some of the ways the nature of Islam does it. Then other of the lessons, the other way, their way. And then the sheep, they plus the lessons. And then say, well, that's done by men, then leave it alone. Because according to you, you are all wise, right, and exact. Okay? So brother man, my exact date of birth, if you were all wise, right, and exact, would be June 26, 1945, on a Tuesday, 12 o'clock. You got it?
That's all wise, right, and exact. So if you put out a pamphlet and it says 1935, you're going to either have to call me a liar and say, I was really born in 1935, which is maybe 56, or you have to admit a confession to the world that you are not all wise, right, and exact. And I'm here to tell you, I was born Tuesday, June the 26th, 1945. So Mr. Man God is a special revelation. You are not all wise, right, and exact. And if you're not right, then shut up. So let's get back to God here. So now, if you were the God of the universe, then we simple mortals want to know how you created this planet. What was the first thing you did? Because you said it was created out of triple darkness. Those are three stages. We don't want the third stage. We don't want the second stage. We want the first stage, homie. Tell us what you did. You can't. What was the first element of creation? How much did it weigh, Mr. God, man? And how did you bring it from nothingness into existence? And don't tell me that you did it in your mind. Because if you did it in your mind, it would not exist in the body. Because that which is mental is mental, and that which is physical, until mental manifests into physical. If you tell me you were mental and you manifested in the physical, then you were a spook.
Right.
And you do believe in spirit and spookism.
Right.
Let me go back to ask, being your stuff. So if that pamphlet bothers you about me trying to save you from your own stupidity, I'm not talking about the 5% of pamphlet. I'm talking about the apology pamphlet. If it bothers you, it's because you are a fool. Because you can't see how easy it is for me to write another pamphlet. If you were God, you'd have the kind of perception to make you realize that all I got to do is write one more pamphlet and say, then you believe that first pamphlet to the point where you use it against me. That means you must believe it. You believe the confession. You believe when I said all the life I came to me in a dream state. You believe. You believe when I said he told me all the garages have been just made up this. You believe that. Right? You believe when I said John Muhammad didn't replace Elijah Muhammad. You believe that. So if you read the pamphlet and you count how many things I said you believe compared to the one thing I'm going to say now, you'll have a problem. Believe this. Donald Elijah Muhammad told me to tell y'all to come join us now.
Right.
Now, if you believe the other stuff, then believe this. If you don't believe this, then don't quote the other stuff no more, Turkey.
Right.
He said for y'all to come join us now. Stop being 5% because I'm 100%.
Oh.
He just don't understand what the word 5% means.
Right.
He don't have the knowledge of the word 5%. A poor righteous teacher who does not believe in the teachings of the 10%. He's all wise, right, and exact, and know who the true and living God is. And know what I feel about that? That's one line of ignorance that don't mean nothing to me. And I'll show you why. Poor righteous teacher. Allah is not poor. Allah is rich, rich in minerals, rich in knowledge, rich in beauty, rich in abundance. Allah is El Kabir. He's Kabir. He is rich. He is not poor. And we are not poor. Never have been poor. We have been misplaced, but never poor.
put us back in our land where we belong, with our feet on the ground from which we came, and beneath us there's diamonds and gold and zinc and minerals. We are not poor. We have been slighted. We have been robbed. We have been misplaced. But we are not poor people. Living in Harlem, in the middle of the ghetto, and on welfare, you are still a rich person who has been robbed.
That's right.
But you are. You understand? Poor, righteous. What is righteousness? And what's the foundation of the truth? You say Asiatic. You say Quran. English translation of Quran. Holy Quran or Bible. Tell us when it inspires. From this day, written nation of Islam, not the nation of Bible sex. Does all everything, all wise, right, and exact. And know the truth. You are not the nation of Islam. You never claimed to be the nation of Islam. You said you were five offenders, and then you want to become gods and goddesses, and then you want to become the divine sons. You don't know who you are, and that's not all wise, right, and
exact.
Who goes to Holy Quran and Bible and tell me when it expires? The Holy Quran was by the original man of the law, supreme being black man of Asia. Holy Quran was inspired every 25,000 years, 9,000
years.
There's answers to everything. You just don't have them. Say you don't have them and submit. But don't try to wrestle with me. You cannot win. I'll take you apart. Word by word, piece by piece. And you finish all of that. When you get back all of that, brother man, then I'm going to tell you everything in all your lessons have no work because they're not even in the original language.
Observe this Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. Everyone must realize the Sabbath is sacred. El Quran, chapter 4, verse 154, in part. And we, Allah and the angelic beings, said to them, Israel, don't violate the sanctity of the Sabbath. Whether you're an Ishmaelite, Israelite, or Midianite, you must keep the Sabbath holy if you want to keep the covenant. If you have any questions or comments concerning this True Light program, write the Tenets of Abraham, Post Box Number 1260, Monticello, New York, 12701.
Something waiting to be found. You Radio.